am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Pronounce it perfectly.
And you are present without an attorney this morning?
Right.
Are you familiar with our timing system in front of you?
This gentleman, he explained it very well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You may proceed.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Chief Justice. I am plaintiff pro se, and in essence that by, not by choice, but by default. In essence, I don't have much to add other than what I put in the brief, and probably I won't be able to articulate it other than what you already see and read. But I got a correspondence from the court in regard to discussion for the applicability to proceed as pro se.
Yes.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to support the case, why I should continue. I just want to see direction from the court, what's, you know, this is...
We did ask you to address the question of whether you're able to appear representing yourself as the special administrator of the case, or whether that amounts to unauthorized practice of law, I think was the question that was posed to you.
Well, I don't want to mince words, but I'm not practicing. Well, I'm representing myself, and again, the reason I'm here in front of you representing myself is I approached several attorneys to take the case, and I had attorneys from Sydney, from Scottsbluff, from Omaha, from Kearney, from somehow Sydney and Scottsbluff, they are conflicting. Others in Omaha and so on. I have an attorney to review the case. He reviewed the case, and matter of fact, in February of 2015, he had engagement letter prepared to be signed, so he'll be do representation, and he sat on that for almost 10 months till November of 2016.
And Mr. Assad, of course, these matters that you're telling us aren't part of our record on appeal that we have from the trial court, and while we understand you may have had difficulty finding a lawyer, and that's why you're representing yourself, our concern is you're also representing the estate as the special administrator.
Right.
And there are cases in the state here that says you can't do that. And that's what our concern is, that if you would like to address that, we want to give you that opportunity.
On, as far as, again, being representing myself, because I really, to be candid, I find that myself to be the best one to represent my case. I feel I am qualified to do that. As far as to proceed with the case as pro se, as of now.
Excuse me, Mr. Assad. I want to make sure you understand it. I think it's a difficult concept, so maybe I can help you see what our problem is, because I'm not sure you understand what Chief Judge Moore is trying to explain to you. There are two parties here that are the plaintiff in this case. One party is you, and you can represent yourself. There's not a problem with that. But the second party is the estate. And you are not an attorney, so you cannot represent the estate before the court by case law. That's the difficult situation you find yourself in. It's not something that we've created. It's something that the Supreme Court has said for a long period of time. And so we're looking for any justification that you might have as to why the fact that you are not a lawyer, but you are able to represent the estate.
Thank you again for explaining. As far as the to proceed, I'm going to jump into proceed. I imagine your determination is, in myself, for to success, for that sake, for example, to grant the appeal, really it's what amount to is for the panel to give me the green light to reset and or to push the reset button. Let me bring back the case to square one. Now, at that, matter of fact, as we speak, I already have, if that term applied, an attorney on standby, and his assessment, his evaluation, he said, well, if a case survive a summary judgment, that means it has good merits, it has good basis, and so on. Then he'll be in better position to take the case. These are the type of obstacle I'm facing. That means if end up proceeding and you find out that, you know, it's justifiable to give that green light, so I'll be able to push the reset button to start. This I will have, at least I have some, I wouldn't say commitment, but somebody willing to listen. Then that will resolve the problem of, this way I then have to be even my own pro se, and that will resolve the representation for the estate and whatever.
Mr. Assad, let me, I just want to make sure I understand what your underlying claim is. From my review of the record, it seems that you filed a lawsuit against, it was against Sydney Regional Medical Center and one of the healthcare providers there. And you claimed that because of the treatment your wife received, or maybe the treatment that she didn't receive, she passed away. Is that a good summary of what you are claiming?
It was a contributing factor.
A contributing factor, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're claiming that because she has passed away, you have suffered some damages. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Are though, and that the estate has suffered some damages. Am I correct so far?
You are correct, yes.
Is there a difference between what you have suffered and what you are seeking, and what you're seeking as the special administrator of the estate, or are they the same?
Well, they are entwined. I don't think you'll be able to say these are the damages for the estate and these are my own damages, because it's the same provider, and they are one and the same. The estate happened to be, I'm one of the rest of the estate.
So the losses are the same, whether they're the loss to you or the loss to the estate. Is that
yes.
Right? Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was clear on what you were looking for
sure.
When you filed your lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Any further questions?
I didn't have any more to add.
Okay. We have no further questions. You still have time if you have more statements you want to make.
I better not keep my mouth open.
Thank you, Mr. Assad. Good morning, Mr. Christensen.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Assad. As you know, I'm Mark Christensen, and I represent Sydney or Cheyenne County Hospital Association, known as Sydney Regional Medical Center, and Tracy Ray, PA. The issue that the court has raised concerning the unauthorized practice of law is dispositive, and there are two cases in particular that I would invite the court's attention to. The first is Waite versus Carpenter, and that's a decision from the Court of Appeals, so a decision from this court. It's 1 NEB App 321, a 1992 decision, and in that case, under a highly analogous situation, a personal representative of an estate brought several wrongful death actions against healthcare providers alleging medical negligence. The Court of Appeals determined that that individual, who was a non-lawyer, simply a personal representative, was engaging in the unauthorized practice of law. The court determined that the actions of that person were a nullity because they were the unauthorized practice of law, dismissed the case. That decision was affirmed by this court on appeal. So that really is a case that's really on all fours with this case and sets forth the law very clearly.
And just so I'm clear, this issue didn't arise in the district court before us, did it?
You're correct, Your Honor. The second case that I would invite the court's attention to is a case that was just issued, or an opinion just issued by the Nebraska Supreme Court on March 31st. It is Zapata versus McHugh, 296 Nebraska 216. And in that case, the court held that an individual, again a non-lawyer, could not pursue the claim of an LLC of which he was a member. He was claiming that the claim had been assigned to him for pursuit, and therefore he wasn't engaging in the unauthorized practice of law because it was his own claim. The court said, no, we're not going to allow you to avoid the rules concerning the unauthorized practice of law. By subterfuge, they reemphasized the importance of those rules concerning the unauthorized practice of law and said he had been engaging in the unauthorized practice of law, affirmed the dismissal of the case, and again held that the actions of that person were a nullity.
Mr. Christensen, are you also familiar with Kelly versus St. Francis Medical Center, which was decided by the Supreme Court also in 2017, which was a wrongful death case brought by an individual, a pro se?
Was that a sole heir case, Your Honor?
I know it was a dismissal based upon the unauthorized practice of law because she brought the action on her own behalf and on behalf of the estate of her husband.
Your Honor, I'm not familiar with that case. I'm sorry. The Waite case did talk about the situation where you'd have a sole heir and that there may be an argument where you could say this is truly my cause of action. But again, I think that would be subterfuge for two reasons. Number one, this is a wrongful death case, as the Waite case was. By statute, only a personal representative or special administrator can bring that claim.
On behalf of the heirs at law.
On behalf of all the heirs. So whether they're claiming a loss of consortium, a loss of companionship, or a loss of financial support, no matter which next of kin has that claim, only the special administrator or the personal representative can bring that claim. So all claims relating to a wrongful death flow through the special administrator or personal representative. So by definition, someone who's bringing a wrongful death claim is representing more than just themselves. They're representing the claims of the next of kin. In this instance, we know on the face of the complaint that Mr. Assad is not the only next of kin of the decedent. The complaint specifically refers to a son, Jason, and the evidence that was submitted by Mr. Assad in support of the motion to recuse go heavily into Jason's prior proceedings before Judge Weimer. So we know there are other next of kin, and simply it is not a sole heir case, so you need not even consider that issue, although I don't think the outcome would be any different.
Is there any cause of action that Mr. Assad would have on his own behalf?
You know, you could argue that the claim for medical expenses, if he was the only person responsible for those medical expenses, might be a personal claim. But traditionally, that's also a claim of the estate because the estate is equally liable for those medical expenses. Again, if you would even want to try to divide it up that way, I think then we get to the other issues, and clearly this was an appropriate summary judgment. We had uncontested testimony from one of the healthcare providers that there was no breach of the standard of care and there was no causation. With that evidence, the burden shifts to the plaintiff to create an issue of fact, and Mr. Assad did not meet his burden under the circumstances. And that law is very well and firmly established in the appellate cases in Nebraska.
We have no further questions unless you have more to say to us.
No, Your Honor, thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Assad has a little time remaining. You have 45 seconds that you may present rebuttal argument to us, Mr. Assad.
As far as the issue of what Mr. Christians brought up, that never came up during the proceedings of the case. And I feel completely in disadvantage. It's like ambush charge. All of a sudden it came up on that. And I don't think it really does apply, especially if you be not able to separate myself as the estate.
As far as the summary judgment, though, did you present any evidence that there was a breach of the standard of care by the hospital or the medical provider? You may answer.
Okay. As far as this, I've been working with specialist emergency room Dr. Sheena, and he was preparing review and assessment.
But that wasn't presented at the hearing.
It was what was presented in the hearing, a letter from Dr. Sheehan instead of affidavit, because he didn't have the complete medical record that I requested from the Sydney Hospital.
Okay. Thank you. I think you've answered my question, and we've taken you over time, so.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and ask you to sit down and counsel. You and Mr. Assad are both excused, and your case is submitted to us for consideration. Thank you very much for appearing. Our next and final case for the day is Panhandle Collections versus Jacobson. We'll wait a moment while the room clears. Hopefully not the entire room. Before we begin, by way of explanation, in this case, the appellant who filed the appeal is present with counsel, and the opposing party, the appellee, chose not to file a brief and